Okay, let's start today's daf. Today's daf is Nida Daf Chav Zayin, and we are on Chav Vav Amud Beis towards the bottom, and we continue here in Perek HaMapeles. The sugi that we have been talking about is Talia. If we have an afterbirth that comes out, we have a placenta-looking matter that comes out after a birth, do we assume that this is just the placenta, this is the afterbirth of the baby that has already come out already, and there aren't separate halachas, this isn't a new leida or not, nafkaminas. Nafkamina could be if it's on a separate day, if the birth came and then 3 days later, or 2 days later it came out. Could be that if one of them is a zachar, do we have to be choshes that this one's in a keva? Different nafkaminas. The question is, though, do we have to be choshesh? That's the sugya that we're talking about here. And of course, in all of these medical sugyas and shas, Shmuel plays a major role. As the Gemara says elsewhere, Shmuel was a doctor that took care of so many, and he was once even had chalishus adas, that he didn't have smicha, he wasn't Rav Shmuel, it was just Shmuel. So he was told that that's the mesorah, that's what's supposed to be, it was not supposed, that's siyata d'shmaya, that he's not supposed to be able to get smicha. But he's one of the great gedolei mesorah, bali mesorah, Rav and Shmuel. We don't have a greater Amoram than they are. But that Shmuel always comes up, as the Gemara mentioned yesterday, an amazing facet of Shmuel's genius, that he was able to look at a baby and know how many days since fertilization it was. 40 days, 41 days. Pretty amazing what Shmuel was able to know. So let's go back to the story. Go back a few lines. Shmuel v'tamidi d'Rav. So Shmuel v'tamidi d'Rav, Rav Yehuda. Shmuel, Talmidei d'Rav, and Rav Yehuda. So it's important to remember the history. Rav Yehuda was a Talmud of Rav, and after Rav died, he went to become a Talmud of Shmuel. That's why Rav Yehuda, often in Shas, says statements in the name of Rav, or in the name of Shmuel. So they were all sitting here. Shmuel, the Talmidim of Rav, including Rav Yehuda, Haviyasvi, Chalaf Azar of Yosef, Brei de Rav Menashe, Midvil Lapayu, and Rav Yosef, Brei de Rav Menashe, went past them. He was rushing past Bali Va'asi, and he quickly went by them, right? And then they were kind of upset that he was going so quickly by them. That's what the Maharshal picks up on here in the back. Bali Va'asi, says the Maharshal, that it looked like he wasn't giving them the proper kavod that he should have. Okay, without reading it inside. So what happens? Amar Asilan Gavra Duraminan Le Begila Dechitza Umarami Umitchi. Right, what happened? Somebody's here, somebody just passed us, that could be knocked down with a little straw. You throw a little straw at him and he can't answer the questions. A mushal that he's not somebody who is, that we have to, you know, a lashon of a ginai. Right? You remember that Chavos Yoyer Tshuva that talks, that lists off all the insults in Shas and tries to, re-understand all of them. Rob must have been sleeping when he said this, and, you know, various other, lines like that. Adahachi, meanwhile, Asi, he came, Amarle Shmuel, Mayama Rabbi Shilya, knew. What did Rav say about Shilya? Right? Shmuel always wanted to know what Rav had to say. Amarle Hachi, Amar Rav, and told us a Shilya, a Badavar Shal Kayama. You only told a Shilya by a Dvar Shal Kayama. What does that mean? Rav said up above, we had on the end of yesterday's daf, that there was already a limitation. That Rav says you can only be tola it a couple of days later, only if it is after a nefel, if it is after a bar kayama, if after a viable baby, so then you cannot be tola anything. Right? That was what we quoted a brisa where he said it beferish. Only if it's a nefel. So now we're adding on another limitation. Not only does it have to be after a nefel, only do you stretch it, but it has to be a bar kayama, meaning had it been born full term, it would have been viable. It's only because it wasn't. I mean, if it was not a bar kayama, as Rashi says, it had one of the thighs would be in the middle, or guf atum, it would be an undeveloped guf, or my palace bin behema chayav oaf, that even Rav would agree that you can't be told anything afterwards on it. So, says the, so Shmuel hears this, literally Shmuel, the kol tamidi de Rav. So Shmuel asked the other students of Rav that were there, you know, did Rav really say this? V'yami lehachi, and then they said, yeah, they said Rav said this. So then he turns to his student now, Rav Yehuda, who used to be a Talmud of Rav Hadar, Chazi, the Rav Yehuda Bishus. He turns to Rav Yehuda with an upset look, meaning this is a great statement of Rav, a great limitation of Rav that you knew about, that you didn't tell me. He was upset about it, right? He thought that he should have mentioned it to him earlier. Good. What happens if someone is Mapeles, if a woman is expresses a birth in the form of a raven? Demus orev vishilya and a shilya. Mahu, What is the halacha there? Are we tola the shilya on the orev here? So amar lei ain tola al badavar sheish b'mino shilya. We only are tola, says Rebbe, a connecting vlad to an afterbirth to a form that at least looks like a type of animal slash person that has a shilya. A bird lays eggs. Bird doesn't have a placenta. Bird doesn't have an afterbirth. So even though this is not a bird, we're talking about a human being that's a mother, a woman that's is expressing this. It doesn't matter if it looks like an orev. So then you cannot be told anything on it. So k'shura b'mahu. What if it's looks like an orev, but it's connected? It's k'shura bo. So l'chor there, wouldn't you have to say that it's connected if it's attached? Amarle davar she'edo sha'alta. That never happens. What kind of question is that? Davar she'edo sha'alta. Okay, as he said, it never happens, and therefore, why would you ask me such a question? Rabbi Yaakov Emden quotes here from the Gemara in Menachos. There's another example of a case where Rebbe was asked a question that was unusual. The Gemara there in Menachos in the third parak, Lama Zayin Aman Aleph. Boi minei plimo me Rebbe. Bishayesh lo shnei rashim be'ez behem meniach tefillin. The baby is born with two heads. Which head wears the tefillin? Which head is the chibur wear tefillin? So Rebbe was asked this question. So in our Gemara, Rebbe just says, oh, you asked me something that doesn't apply. That's never going to come up. Which the Gemara is about to ask. It does come up. But here, he gets upset. Amalei, o kum galei, o kavel lechashabta. Either leave or be excommunicated. What kind of question are you asking me? So Rabbi Yaakov Edda just points out he gets more upset over there at that question than this question. Interesting. What's the difference if they're both unusual? But maybe Argamar is about to say it's not so unusual. That's why we're going to have a meisve. But either way, what happens over there? Adahachi asahu gavra amarle isyali yinuka dislay trei rashi. Somebody walked in and said, "I just had a baby. I get a double mazel tov, right? Or one, right? My wife just had a baby with two heads. Kama bina lemesa lekohen, and he's a bechor. How much do I have to give to a kohen? Pidyon haben, 5 slam or 10 slam?" Asahu saba tani lechayv lite lo yud slaim. 10 slaim. Right? Why? Because Rashi quotes, efshal etzamtzim, right? To here, it's one baby. So even no matter what, you're going to say it came out at the same time, but it's all one. It's all one. Anything where it goes through, you really say that, but he just points out that over there, Rebbe seemed to get even more upset than he did here. Tosfos there quotes, in Menachos, on Daf Lamed Zayin, O kalam gali v'chulu, ba'olam hazeh leka. Says Tosfos. In the Nigla world, we don't find cases of a person with two heads. Avol yesh bemedrish ashmadai. Hotzi mitachas karka, adam echas yesh lo shnei rashim, lefnei Shlomo HaMelech. Right, and the demons were able to pull out a form, a person looking like this. V'nasa isha v'holid banim, k'yotze bo b'shnei rashim, v'chayotze b'ishto, b'rosh echad, u'kshepo l'achlok b'dichse aviyem, b'shnei shoshnei rashim, shol shnei chalakim, u'bol adin lefnei Shlomo. He wanted a double portion, right? He wanted two portions because it was two heads. So that is a question. Again, the Mefarshim discussed the halachas of this. I think I mentioned the Shvus Yaakov a couple of days ago about tefillin. The Ben Yehoyada on that Gemara in Menachos. The Ben Yehoyada in Menachos just quotes a story. Usually comes up with chidushim on the Agada. There, he quotes, Hinei po b'irenu Baghdad, haya ubar bebetan behema, Kisva acha shaylo shnei rashim. First he quotes, we had in Baghdad, not so long ago, right, 120 years ago, that he had a sheep that had two heads in the Beth Mehema. Ve'vi yosel afaneinu, and he brought it, I saw it. V'yachar shana nolad me'isha achas yela sheish lo shnei rashim. Right, there are cases of this, right? One could look around in the history books, and there are cases of a congealed, not congealed, connected twins, and the question is, you know, how far down? Some of them have one of this, one of that, two of those. You know, Rahman al-Islam, usually they're not so healthy, they don't last, they don't live so long, not always. Some of them do. I remember seeing a story of teenagers. Okay, Nola Bisha Achaz, Yalish, Shay Shoshay Rashim, Achnis Baishu Laharos also. Frakolichos, Eitzel Rofe, Europi, Kinolar Chai, Avalochai Yosem, Yishlosha Yamim. Right, that was this case in Baghdad. V'gidu li anashim shahayu krovim li oledes sharo oso. V'gam laham yaldos shemayala shalti v'gidu b'kina davar. I asked, and the mayala told me, yeah. V'gam larofi shalti v'day adam echad. V'omar kenhu v'aguf echad v'rakonet savar mischalik l'shei tzavarim. V'shnei rashim gemurim. V'gugoles v'inayim v'aznayim v'chotem. Two separate heads. It's possible, says the Ben Yoyada. I saw it. V'efshar. So why did Rebbe get so upset at Plimo? Right, go, get excommunicated. Oh, you can say Deshtar Ativim, it never happened then, it happened now. So he says, no, maybe Rebbe thought that even if it would be bored, it would never live old enough to have the question of tefillin. Right, and that's why he got upset. Okay, either way, that's the discussion. But again, here he says, Davar Sheino Sha'alta. You have to know, sometimes the Gemara asks unusual questions. Remember the Gemara B'Vasra, think of Yirmiya, asks an unusual question. If I had a chicken outside of the chicken coop, 50 amos goes to the owner, outside of 50 amos not. What if you have one leg inside, one leg outside? And they, for this question, they threw a Yirmi out of the base medrash. Right? And, we discussed then, you know, why is that so unusual? There are always questions, in the Gemara, unusual. But either way, this one goes on the list. But the Gemara says, now, Eisvei, is it really so unusual to have a birth, a mapelas, that looks like an orev that has a shilya connected to it, as follows: Esve hamapel has been behema chayva o fishilimahin bisman shashilya kshurima. And if the shilya is kashur, is connected to the chayva of ein choshen levlad acher, it's connected. You have to be choshish for any other vlad. Ein shilya kshurima and choshen levlad acher. Right? If it's not, then you have to be choshish for a different vlad. Harin matel alein chomer shnei vlados. And afterwards, so maybe it was two, and therefore if the first one's a zachar, maybe the second one's a nekeva, and all the chomers that apply, shani omer, because I have to assume that maybe it's two different ones. There was a vlad here, and there's a shulia here. If they're not connected, maybe it's from two different babies. Shani omer, shemini moach shvir shel shulia. Maybe the embryo, the baby of the shulia was disintegrated, so the shulia's baby is no longer. Veni moach shulia shel shvir. And the shvir that's here, embryo that's here, lost its afterbirth. So you have to assume that it's two. So you see that it could be kshura to a min behema chayva of. So tiyufta. So kasha, so we don't answer that. Interesting that this is a tiyufta. Tiyufta also is a very strong washer. It's not just kasha, tiyufta. We're asking a kasha on Rebbe from a brisa, right? Can't Rebbe say whatever he wants? He's a Tana. So sometimes we'll say, Rav Tana upalik. Well, Rebbe is for sure a Tana. And he can be palik. So why does the Gemara have to end off with tiyufta? Ask the Ritva. You know, Rebbe can defend himself. Rebbe can say what he wants. Why here does it say Tiyufta? V'yavagav the Rebbe Tana who asked the Ritva, Shiny Hacha. Here's a different kind of machlokas. It's not a machlokas in halacha where Rebbe can say whatever he wants. It's a machlokas in Metzius. Rebbe says it's impossible. But the Braisa talks about it being possible. So Shiny Hacha, to lo pligi bidvar halacha. They're not arguing about a dvar halacha. Ela she Rebbe ha yasavar she zed davar she eino. V'yatana ze omer she yeshno. That's the problem. Not a halachic discussion. And that's why this is different. So again, that's the reflecting the sugya of you can't say elu ve'elu if it's a machlokes and mitzias, right? Elu ve'machlokes, yes or no? Oh, they're both right. What do you mean they're both right? Either something. Again, we might not know the answer, right? Machlokes. We know ein muktu machlokes Rashi and the Ramban whether the chet ha'egel happened before the tzivi of the Mishkan or after the tzivi of the Mishkan. Machlokas Rashi Rabban. So we learn from both of their shitos. Ultimately, maybe Bada Beis HaMikdash, we'll have to ask Moshe Rabbeinu, and he'll tell us one or the other. That's a machlokas in history. What exactly happened? Unless you say different parts of the Mishkan, try to make shalom between them. But ultimately, Rashi already tells us that if it's a machlokas about something that happened, you know, you can learn from both of them, but one of them is not true. One of them is not true. That's the Rashi and Ksubis that we've quoted in the past. Rashi and Ksubis in Zion, where Rashi has a big limitation, a very mistaver limitation on the sugya of Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chaim. The Gemara that appears, the phrase that appears two places, right? The Gemara in Eir Vinyud Gimel, that's the source context. Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chaim, that was the bas call that went out from Shemayim that said, Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai are both Elu ve'elu. But the halach is like Beis Hillel. That's one Gemara. The Gemara quotes it also in Meseches Gittin in the first parak. But relating to that is a very important Rashi in Ksubis Adav Nun Zayin Aman Aleph, where Rashi quotes there when there's a machlokas about what a Rebbe said in Shir, so you can't say Elu Ve'elu. either said one thing or the other thing, and you have to know exactly. But other than that, if it's svaris, obviously one can argue. Says Rashi, if two Amorim argue, each saying their own shita. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yeshua, and these say others, then fine. And then it could be, I'm skipping a line. Dechi pligi trei aliba dechad. Mar amar hachi amar ploni. Umar amar hacher amar ploni. Chad minayu mishaker. If you say, it's about chlokas, about what he said. Did he say mutter or usser? Then one of them is lying. One of them is not telling the truth. One of them missed the mesora. Aval ki pligi trei amoroi bedin. O beisr veheter. But if they're arguing about a din, kol chad amar hachi mistaver taimei, ein Khan Sheker, says Rashi, there is no Sheker. How could they both be true? That's what the sugya is. There are multiple levels of truth in halacha. And maybe not even multiple levels, because saying multiple levels means there's a higher and a lower level. Maybe there's just multiple truths, equal truths, in halacha. That's what Rashi's lashon is. Ein Khan Sheker. Kol chad v'chad svara didei kamar. Each one says his own svara. Mar yo avtaim ala hetera, mar yo avtaim ala yisura. Mar medami milsa la milsa, hachi. Umar medami le b'inyan achrina. Ve'ik ala meymar, elu ve'elu debi lukib chayim heim. Says Rashi, quoting the Gemara in Erevin, and the Gilin Hashah says, look in Erevin. D'shaya chay taima v'zimnin d'shaya chay taima. Shatam mishapech lefi shinu yadvarim b'shini muat. Right, that's the mashal that the Maharal gives about a tree. If somebody asks a group of people, what makes a tree grow? And people will scream out, water, and the oxygen, and soil, and sunlight. All the different... And who's right? They're all right. Depends on your perspective. Depends on what you think is ikker. But they're all MS. There's no sheker there. Everything is part. So too, says the Maharal, every concept in Torah is complicated and is multifaceted and is not simple. And therefore, that's why we can have the principle of Elu, the Elu, Dibur Lekim Chayim. That's the beautiful comment also, and this will finish this, of the Ritva. The Ritva in Erev and Daf Yud Gimel quotes the Chachmei Tzarfas, which is also fascinating. Dafka there, in this sugya, the Ritva, one of the great Chachmei Svarad, quotes the Chachmei Tzarfas, who quotes that Moshe Rabbeinu asked Hashem, at Har Sinai. Hashem gave him 49 reasons to be metame everything and 49 reasons to be metire everything. And Moshe says, what is this? What does this mean? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I leave it to the Chachamim Shebechol Devadar to figure it out. And that's the Elu Ve'elu, and that's how we have Machlokas. It's part of the system that we have. But again, Rashi's big limitation that you can't have a Machlokas about a fact. And therefore, I mean, you can, but then one of them is not true. Even though at this, we can still learn from both of them. We can still learn from both of them, right? Even a havamina, right? A havamina of someone which is rejected the maskana, right? That was something to learn from, and that's maybe we can learn about a certain aspect of the halacha from the havamina. So again, it's important sugya. Okay, so that's why the Gemara says here tufta on Rebbe, even though Rebbe is a Tana, and obviously he could say what he wants. Let's continue. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabba Bar Sheila, Amar of Masna, Amar Shmuel, Maisa Vatola Sashilya, Bevlad Adasar Yamim. There's a story, they were tola a Shilya. They were tola an afterbirth with a Vlad, even 10 days later. 10 days later, they even said, it's still the same one. Vlam Mutolin, Allah Bashilya Abba, Akhar Vlad. And the only time would you say that is that the Vlad came first. The Shilya came after the Vlad, so that's where we would say that they are connected. Right? If not, right, Rashi, Abu Yatsa Shilya Kodem, Choshjin La Akher. If first is the Shilya and then the Vlad comes afterwards, so then we would be Choshesh that the first one had a different baby and it was Nimoach. Good. Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana Amar Biochan. Amayis Avdolos Hashili Bavlad Ad Chav Gimel Yamim. 23 days. Right? A long time. Amalir of Yosef. Ad Chav Dalan Amar Lan. I heard from you 24. Amar of Acha Breder of Avira Amar Biyitzchim Aysav. Vidishtav Avlad Acha Chavir Laman Gimel Yom. 33 days. More than a month later. Amalir of Yosef Laman Dalan Amar Lan. We heard 34. So, we've heard, and this is note that the first case that we were just talking about, Rabbi Rachana, was about being tola a shilya in a vlad. The second case we're talking about here is being tola a baby and a baby, that it's one birth. It's twins. Right? That's the second statement. Nishtahe havlad acher chaveiro. Acher chaveiro. Right? Rashi says, we'll go back to Rashi. Hani chas continues the Gemara first. Lamanda amar. Yolaz latissa, yolaz lamukutan. I can understand that there can be two babies born with 33 days in between, according to the opinion that says a woman who's having a ninth month baby might not have a complete. She sometimes doesn't go full term. Maybe during the ninth month. Again, we remember that Bisman HaTalmud, the medical science was that you could have seventh month babies and ninth month babies. 8 month babies wouldn't live. They were not viable. Why would that make sense to us? We don't understand it, but seems to be the medical science of the time. And part of it also was that if it was a 9 monther, it was full term. It was never early in the ninth month, according to one opinion. So what does that mean? Is that a machlokas and metzias? It could be that it was a certain percentage, and the question is, halachically, how do you view that percentage in terms of the yoladus of Ukutan? So Hanicha, the Gemara says, according to the opinion, that a 9 monther doesn't have to go full term. So Mishkachasla, that's how you could have two babies born with 33 days in between. Echa nigmar tzirasal sof shiva, one born at the end of the seventh. Echa nigmar tzirasal tzilas tisha, and one born at the beginning of the ninth. So that's how you can work it. But if you say that a baby born in the ninth month has to be full term, so Michael Amemar, could you ever have two babies that are born with between 33 days between them? So Eifoch Shmaitza. So where it says, you're right, switch it. We just had two statements, one about a Vlad and a Shilya, one about a Vlad and a Vlad. So switch it. It's the Vlad and the Vlad that had 23 days in between, not 33 days in between. And if that's the case, they can have them both in the seventh month. Lamed Gimel, Lashilya, Chav Gimel, Levlad. They're both in the seventh month, because even though it sounds medically the opposite from our point of view, if you hold that a ninth monther has to be full, is always full term, you could say a seventh monther could be not, right, even less developed. But again, that's what the Gemara assumes. So that's why we flip it, and in that way, we could understand it. Good. Let's just finish this, and then we'll go back for a moment. Rav Avin bar Rav Ada Amar Rav Menachem Ish Kfar Sha'arim V'Amri La Beis Sha'arim Maisa V'Nishtah Vlad Echad Acher Chaveiro Gimel Chadashim. There were once two babies born 3 months apart from each other. Wow. V'Harim Yoshev L'Fadim Beis HaMedrash. And they're actually in the Beis HaMedrash right now. U'maniyu Yehuda V'Chizkiya B'nei Rebbe Chiya. Rebbe Chiya's two sons. He had two sons that were born 2 months apart from each other. V'yamar mar ein isha misaberes achozeres misaberes. How can that be? A woman can't become pregnant when she's already pregnant. We had this already a couple days ago, Rashi and Tosfos. So if she was pregnant already, how could she become pregnant again? So Gemara's havamina is that it was two different maisabiyas that made her pregnant, and therefore how could it be? Amar Abaya, no, it was one maisabiya. Tipa achas aisa v'deslach l'shnayim. It was one tipa that was split. Maybe it means identical twins, tipa achas, which means it was tipa achas that was in a beitza achas, and then it split, right? Maybe that's what Abaya means. I don't know if Yehuda, and doesn't say here what type of twins they were. Yehuda and Chizkiya, Bnei Rebbe Chiya, if you could tell them apart. Okay, either way. Echa nigmara, but here it was neschakel l'shtayim, echa nigmara tzirasa b'chila zayin, v'echa besof, tes. And it was 3 months apart, one of them finished their tzura and became a viable at the beginning of the seventh, and one at the end of the ninth. Okay, pretty unusual, but I mentioned when this came up back in Yevamos, back in the last cycle, that there was a case. If you look online, there was a case in 2005 in an article in London, that a mother gave birth to twins 2 months apart. 2 months apart. And how was this? How was this? She was 33 years old, Bechulu. And the article says that she was one of 50,000 women that had a double uterus. Two uteruses. But the hospital believed it was the first case where a woman had become pregnant at the same time in both wombs and given birth nearly 2 months apart. That was the case of this woman. So that's not what our Gemara is. Our Gemara talks about Tipa Achas and Slach L'Shnayim. But again, this was a very unusual case, but it happened that they were two different men, born completely healthy, Bechulu, and amazing. Amazing, but that's a case that that comes up. Once we're talking about a case of something found, something is kshura we had before, how much are we tole one on the other? The Chashuke Chebedir discusses, what about a case of mitzios? Metzios. The Gemara in Eilu Metzios, if you remember, discusses what happens if I find on the street a barrel of fruit that's laying sideways. And a few feet away from the barrel is some fruit. So do I have to assume that fruit came from the barrel? It looks like it came from the barrel. It probably came from the barrel, but maybe not. Maybe somebody else was walking by and dropped some fruit, and they had yeshon it, and the stuff in the barrel is the barrel. So maybe not. So there are different shailas about how much, whether you have to be told at what's called a simen. So the Chashuki Chemed here discusses the case where there was somebody that Rachman al-Islan drowned at sea, and his wife was permitted to remarry. And then they found items floating in the sea without any identification on it. Can we assume that these items belong to the person who drowned? Right? It was found 140 kilometers, Mercha Kama, no, I'm sorry, it doesn't 40. It says Kama kilometers. Sorry, a few kilometers away. But again, it's the waves, it's the water. So it's found Nimsu Begadim im Kesef. And you don't have to give it back. So he quotes the Tshuva of the Tzemach Tzedek, right? One of the Lubavitcher Rebbe's quoted in the Pesachei Tshuva in Simon Yud Zayin, which is the Simon, I think, of Edus Isha. And that is, if somebody was found in the forest, then Rachman al-Sadi was killed, and there was clothing found next to him. And his clothing was taken off. So, do we assume this was his clothing? Again, no identifying marks. Do you assume it's a davar tmua that somebody else would have taken off their clothing and left it next to this harug? So he discusses that there are hochachos elu mesayos lesvaras hakurva, that it becomes, it really belongs to this person. V'kiva de hochachos elu, it's a mistaver, and you have to use your head. You have to use your head in some of these cases, therefore it makes sense that it's from them. And the Tzemach Tzedek says, v'yesh raya lesvarazu, mi'am avur benida davchav zayin. Even though they're not close, even though we don't know for sure, talinan, that they go together, and therefore all people have begadim, and we assume that it goes together. And even though it's farther away here, we know waves carry things from one place to another place, and therefore we could say that it was from here. Okay. We continue now back to the discussion of Shilya. Shilya b'bayis abayis tameh. So the Mishnah said on yesterday's daf that if there is a Shilya, if there is an afterbirth in the house, there's a placenta, the house is tameh. The house is tameh meis. Why? Not that the Shilya is the baby, but we assume if there is a Shilya, there was a baby. And we just don't see it right now, and it disintegrated, but it's enough in the house to make the house tameh meis. Shilya b'bayis abayis tameh. So Tana Rabbanan. Shilya b'bayis, little more expanded discussion. Shilya b'bayis abayis tameh. Lo sha shilya v'lad el shilya. In shilya below v'lad ima, divrei b'meir. Meir assumes there must have been a baby, a v'lad somewhere here that disintegrated, and it would be enough to be metameh mishum meis. The Chachamis Betzalel here just discusses, Betzalel Ranchberg, Remeir is always the one that's choshesh l'miyot. So, you know, here the Gemara discusses, you know, what the svara for Rabbi Meir is. There must be a vlad. What if most babies, some have vlados. Ain't shilya below vlad, he has to say, like all or most. Even if not, doesn't Remeir choshesh l'miyot? He's always the one in shas, so therefore, even without the sheet of akashule, right, the Leo Daf Yud Ches, he asks Sasha Rabbi Yochanan, Hach the Shulya Bahadi Hanach Tlas to Hochu Bechachabach Arov. Right, remember the earlier Daf Yud Ches we had a little while ago, that this is one of the cases where the Chachamim go after the Rov, Va'asu'im Kevadai. Right, one of the cases that it's Rov, but you treat it like a Vadai. That we had back on Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph from Rabbi Yochanan. Shlosha Makomos, Asum Kevadai. Makar, Shulya, and Chaticha. And this was Shulya. But her mayor holds Choshe Lamiyot. So why do you even have to treat this? This is a robe, even if it was a miyot. So he has a couple of suggestions. Maybe Rabbi Meir's chashin lamiyot is only midirabanan. Midaraisa, it's not choshesh lamiyot. And therefore we wouldn't treat this house as tamei meis midaraisa. Number one. Or maybe here, Rabbi Meir, it's not really mishum robe. It's because of safek tumah b'rishus hayachid. Right, and therefore it's a different rules. Or maybe this would be a miuta dimiuta. Even our mayor holds chashin lamiyut. He's not choshish for a miyut dimiyut. He's only choshish for a miyut hamatsui, miyut hashchiach, possibly. Vavi miyut de lo shchiach. We did lo shchiach. Aver mayor lo chayish loze. Kedis la kaman daf lamed gimel. As we will see, miyut de shchiach, miyut de lo shchiach. In that base. But that's what the Chachmas Betzalel here discusses in the Pische Nida. So says the Gemara. That's your mayor shita. Mayor shita says if you have an afterbirth in a house, the house is tamei base because you assume that there was a. The baby was here enough to be metame. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, metarin, and the other Tanam say tar. No, you don't assume that there's tumas base here. Amrul other Rabbi Meir, they said to Rabbi Meir, how can you say tame? Iatamode, don't you agree? Shemotziu b'seifal obes achitzon shutar. If they took this shilya, this afterbirth, in a container and they took it outside to, let's say, another house, the house would be tar. Right? Would you agree to that? Amrul lahen aval. Yes, I agree. Why? Because they obviously think that this afterbirth is totally disintegrated, the shilya, if it was in there in the first time, tame. So why here, in the first house, do you say tame? Amrullah, they said, they said, just like it's not in another house that you carry, so too, it's not in the inner house. Right? And why? You're telling me that while it moves, it gets disintegrated, but like coming out of the mother, the labor itself would be more of a shock to the body than just carrying it outside. So if carrying it outside is, it's nothing, so to hear. Amar Ladi says no. It's a question of cumulative, right? The second one is going to make it worse and really make it disintegrate, and therefore it's not going to be a baby once, it's not going to be a vlad, that's betame once you take it out. A second time. But when it came out right away, it did create Tumas Mace. Yosiv, Rav Papa, Achore, Rav Bibi, Kame, Rav Hamnuna. Rav Hamnuna was sitting behind Rav Dimi, in front of Rav Hamnuna, Yosiv, Kamar, my time at Rabbi Shimon. What is the reason for Rabbi Shimon? In our Mishnah, what is the reason? What does Rabbi Shimon say? Rabbi Shimon is the one that is Mekor. Rabbi Shimon says, Nimo Kavlada Shalo Yatsa. Right, the baby disintegrated somehow before it came out of there, but there's no Tumas Meis. Rashi here for a minute. My time at the Rabbi Shimon. Nehi denimo. Yes, fine, it disintegrated. Mikol makom. Kol gufo shel meiskan have. Right, so it disintegrated, but we assume it's all here. Vahavi le kerekev ukenetzel. Isn't this like rekev and netzel? Rekev and netzel are concepts that come up in Tumas Meis, in the Mishnayis, in Meseches Ahalos. Some type of mace, corpse dust, or netzel, or congealed after the mace disintegrates and becomes a different form. So that also is tame. So let's focus on the rekev. Now the rekev is the dust of the after a person disintegrates. So that rekev is also mitame ohel. So here, fine, it disintegrated, but shouldn't that be enough to be mitame? So the Gemara answers, and the Rambam goes through all these halachas also, besides in Hilchos Maseches Ahalos, look at the Rambam in Hilchos Tumas Meis, in the second parak. He talks all about what of a mace is metame. What of a mace is metame? The Rambam says, ha-nefel, av-vishadayin lo-nitzkashu e-varav begidin metame, b'maka u-b'maso ba-oel. Right? A nefel is going to be metame. Ka-adam gadol she-mace. Just like a gadam gadol. V'chin kizayas b'bsar mace. Bein lach, bein yavesh. A kezayis of the flesh of a mace is metame. Vaha netzel, kibasar, metame kezayis. Netzel, the corpse dust, is also like basar and is metame bekezayis. Ezui netzel zeh basar sheni moach v'naase lecha srucha. V'ushet tikro shosaha lecha nipses min ames, shemkarsha b'yadua shu b'saro, v'chulu, and it continues. And discusses this. Again, there is some discussion about the difference between Netzel and the Rekev, not for now. So the Gemara says, so what's the reason for Rabbi Shimon? Why does he matter it? Don't you have the whole baby here just disintegrated? Ksavar answers the Gemara called too much. No, because it has to be pure according to Rabbi Shimon. Any Tumah, that there's something else in it, even Mimin HaTumah, it's going to be Batel. It's going to be Batel. And therefore here, it's got to be batel. Amar lehu Rav Papa, as we said in the Mishnah, we quoted this. Amar lehu Rav Papa, haynanami tamayad Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yossi. This is the shita of Rabbi Shimon, so it must also be the shita of Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yossi, who we just set up above in the Brisa, agrees with Rabbi Shimon. So achichole, they laughed at him. So maishnah pshita, that's pretty obvious. Three tanam say something, right? You said the reason for one of them, so the other two, they say the same reason. Okay, that's simple. So Amar Rav Papa. Rav Papa says, Rav Papa often, there are many Gemaras in Shas, that Rav Papa was nechshad. And they said, oh, either he was made fun of, or they thought he was doing something wrong, v'chulu. And that's one of the pshatim about why he was zoche, right, to have 10 great tzaddik sons that we mentioned how to see him. Because, you know, Rav Papa was, the Gemara says, if somebody's chashud, the ainbo, you know, he'll get a bracha. He'll get a bracha. Like if somebody accuses someone else of doing something, and it's not true, the Gemara says, chayav levarcha, give him a bracha. So here, often in Shah. So here, he said something like, oh, that's so simple. What are you talking about? The Papa says, afilu ki yom el salema inesh v'lo nishtok hamir abe. I don't care. I want to know for sure. Even something like this, that's simple, a person shouldn't keep quiet. You want to learn, you have to say and talk about it. Mishub shenemar, as the Pasuk says in Mishlei, im navalta behisnase, if you disgraced yourself, behisnase, meaning, we're interpreting this as, if you disgrace yourself by asking a question that might have seemed like a simple question, but you wanted to learn, behisnase, you will eventually be raised up. Allegedly be raised up. Rashi. Im navalta atzmacha al divrei Torah, Sofcha lisnase. Back to the Gemara Vim Zamosa. If you put a muzzle on your mouth, if you kept quiet, you didn't say anything, yadapeh, you'll eventually have to put your hand over your mouth and you won't be able to say anything. Because you won't know anything. If you have a question, you have to ask. If you don't know something, you have to ask. And therefore, says Rav Papa, that's why I said something, even though it might seem simple, but I felt that I have to say it. Right? This basically the message of what the Mishnah tells us in Perkei Avos. V'lo habayshan lamed. Right, somebody who's baishan, somebody who doesn't ask when they should ask, so they're never going to be able to learn. That's what the Mishnah says in Perek Beis in Mishnah Hei V'lo Abaisha Lameh. The Bar Tanura says there, Shamizbayesh l'shol shema yal igu alav yishaer tamid b'sveikosav. If you don't ask and you have a kasha, then you'll always have sveikos, and you're never going to learn anything. And therefore, lo abaisha lameh. Many of the Mefarshim discuss Rabbi Lau, in his commentary, Yachal Yisrael, here on Pirkei Avos, discusses, doesn't the Gemara in Yevamos tell us that there are three simanim of every Jew? Right? Shlosha simanim yesh b'umazu, Yevamos ayin tes, rachmanim, baishanim, v'gomle chasadim. So you see, busha is a good midah. Right? The Gemara is, and where does the busha come from? It came from Har Sinai. Right? The Pasuk says, by Har Sinai, right, that we had busha. So why does the Gemara say, why does the Mishnah say, busha is not a good thing? Lo abaisha lamed. It says busha is one of the amidos. So obviously there's busha and there's busha. Different types of busha. Right? So what's the difference? So explains Rabbi Lau. Bedera klal boshes panim hi chiyuvit bod. Generally, boshes panim is something positive. Certain type of meekness, certain type of not wanting the attention. But sometimes mikrim shebahem tzorach lihimanam and abusha vehis azer ba'azus tikdusha. The opposite of busha is azus. Sometimes we have to be brazen, so to speak, brazen for spirituality, right? That's what, even though brazenness is usually not good, right? Another Mishnah Pirkei Avos, az panim l'gehenim, boshes panim l'gan eden, right? So what is it? So usually azus and being a little too open and brazen and pushy is not good. But for Torah, what does the first sif say in Shulchan Aruch? V'al yevosh b'frei mal igim ala b'avodas habor yisbarach shemo, right? We have to be brazen and do the mitzvahs, right? We can't be embarrassed. Also, in Avodas Hashem, Al Yevosh, Lo Abaisha Lameh, because we're not going to be able to do it. You have to, Lo Abaisha, Rabbi Akiva, 40 years old, doesn't know anything. He sits down in the kindergarten. Lo Abaisha Lameh. We would never have had Rabbi Akiva if he just went by this Mishnah of Az Panim, Legehenim, and Boshavan Legan Edim. And he just went by Shanim is a good midah. No, sometimes you have to stand up. Habayshan, he continues. Habayshan choshesh l'shol, ubavareh sanilmad, shema yal igulo v'lishelosav, v'lachin ma'adif l'shtok, ha-totza'a ha-aguma hi-shin nisharim sveikosav, v'imshelosav, v'yotzi menashir, kimish l'olam ha-davar, garua mikach ha-talmud alo lihi vater ala avara amudeis. Okay, I don't understand it. Forget it. It's okay. It's fine. I often like to quote that Gemara in Erevin in this context. About Rabbi Preda, right? The student there, Rabbi Preda, had to teach 400 times until he understood it. And one time there was a day there, Rabbi Preda said, you know what, guys, I just have to leave right after shiur, so don't bother me after shiur. And he taught it to him 400 times, and he still didn't get it. He says, why? What's my shana? He says, I know you have to leave right afterwards. I'm a little nervous. I don't think I'm going to get it. So he was anxious. So even after 400 times, so Rabbi Preda says, you know, forget it. I'm going to teach it to you. He teaches them another 400 times. And I guess he missed the chuppah he was going to go to. And all of a sudden, the baskel goes out from Shemayim. Rabbi Preda, do you want more 400 more years to your life? Or do you want all of your dirt to go to Olam Haba? And he says, I'll take what's behind door number two. And they say, okay, we'll give you both. But that's the Gemara. So that Gemara is always quoted as the godless of Rabbi Preda, such patience. But I think it's also the godless of the Talmud. He didn't give up. You know, after we went to a shiur, if we hazard it five times, we still can't get it. We're like, okay, forget it. Let me just go to the next sugya. I won't get this topic. I won't get this daf. It's okay. There's always tomorrow's daf. No. Rabbi Preda teaches us that you can't give up. And you have to try. And that's loha baishan lamed, right? We can't stop asking the questions if we need. So that's what our papa teaches us, right? Navalta bisnase. We have to lower ourselves, so to speak, in order to get raised up. Good. Rabbi Shimon goes according to his reasoning. Rabbi Shimon, who says that it has to be pure baby, right, in order to be matame mace, goes according to his reasoning. It can't be mixed in with the mother's blood, right? It has to be dafka, the baby. And here it's mixed in with the dam leida, and therefore it was nisbatel. But where do we see that? The Tanya, the following. Mali tavad rekev, right, corpse dust. If you have a tarvat, a spoonful of corpse dust, which is the shear that was given from our Sinai. Shenafal atocho afar kalshu tame. If it gets a little dirt in it, it's tame according to the Tanakama. So what if there's a little dirt mixed in? That's what all mesim are mixed in with dirt. Rabbi Shimon mitaher. Rabbi Shimon says no. Rabbi Shimon says only pure corpse dust. Right, that it disintegrated, as we'll see, where this, what kind of case this is then. So only pure corpse dust. And therefore, if you have a spoonful, and if there's dirt in it, so then that's going to remove some of the shear, and you're not going to have the amount right shear. By Tabitha Rabbi Shimon, Omar Rabash Kachtinu L'Rabbanu Debei Rav Diyasi V'Kamri. So the rabbis that I was with said that this is the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. V'Kamri, Eifshar Shalo Yirbush De Predos Afar Al Preda Acha Shal Rekev. Because there will be some little particle of corpse dust that is surrounded by particles of dirt, V'Chasule, and therefore it is less than the shear of Tarvad. Right, because that's their Mevatel, the rekev, because they're surrounding it, and therefore it is not going to be enough of a shear. So that's what the rabbi said the pshat of Rabbi Shimon is. V'yamina lahu, but Rabba says that adarabba. I think, why does that make sense? Efshar shel yirbush dipredos. Why do you say that? Oh, the dirt's going to surround the corpse dust. Why don't you say the corpse dust could surround the dirt? Efshar shel yirbush dipredos. Rekev shel preda achas afar u'v'nafish leshiura. And maybe it's you have more of the shear than you need. So Rabba says that can't be the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. That it has to be, oh, it's mevutal in between the two. Ela amar Rabba hayno taima de Rabbi Shimon. Sofa kitchilah. So Rabba says this is the reason Rabbi Shimon says because it has to be pure. Sofo kitchilaso. Ma tchilaso naase lo dovo acher gangilon. Just like tchilaso, right? When a person is buried, if there is something else that is, right, buried with Rashi, im yesh davar ha-ra'ui lihi rakev, falasos rekev, if there's something else that's buried with the mace and disintegrates with the mace, that mace is not going to be metame after it disintegrates. Gangilon, that means something opposite it, like an antidote. The other item in the tchilaso is going to be the gangilon and knock it out and not be called it won't be metame mace. Av sofo nasalo dover acher gangilon. So to sofo, when it comes to the rekev, you have this principle of gangilon, right? Rashi says gangilon bitol she'oso dover acher mevatlo. Av sofo lachas as a rekev kishenikvar kilchaso. Even if it's the mace is buried perfectly kilchaso, but dover acher misarev is mevatlon. Something else inside will be mevatel and ruin it from becoming tame mace. Where do you see this? The following my he detanya the brisa ezio meishish lo rekev. Right, this really discussion in Meseches Ahalos. So what has rekev, what doesn't have rekev? So nikbar, if a mace is buried, arum ba'arun shel shayis, naked in a marble stone coffin, o al gabi ritzba shel avanim, or on a stone floor, so that mace, that becoming, disintegrating, is going to be pure mace. And therefore, zeo meisheish larekev. Vezo meisheein larekev, nikbar b'ksuso, like normal. Like a mace is buried in tachrichin, in clothing. Oba aron shel eitz, or wood, all gabi ritzva shel levein, and bricks, then it's mixed in. Zeo meish ein lo rekev. So therefore you see, any mixture is going to ruin it. Velo armu rekev, elo meis bilvad, lemuti harag delo. And by the way, rekev is only by a mace. Pure mace is going to turn into rekev. If somebody is killed, then there's no rekev, even if it's buried. Arum v'chulu. Why? Machlokas Rashiir says, maybe because some dam went out beforehand, and rekev is only when you have a complete mace that disintegrated. But if some of the dam went out beforehand, so then it's not going to be rekev. The Aruch Laner says sometimes people are killed without having any dam that goes out. What else on somebody's nechnak? So he says, it must be halach moshe b'sinai. Halach moshe b'sinai, that harug does not create Rekev. There's an amazing story. The Chashuke Chabad here quotes that that Rav Chanan Wasserman quoted, that when the doctors, the Rugged Shaver had tremendous pain, and he went to the doctors, and the doctor said that he has kidney stones. Kidney stones, very, very painful. Kidney stones. His first reaction was, if there are kidney stones, and then a person dies, is that gangilon? Right? Would that be the antidote, as if it's something separate that the person is buried with? Or is it that, no, it's internal right now, so it's not going to be like clothes? That's an unbelievable reaction. That's a rugged shover, right? He's not worried about himself at the moment, but his first reaction to anything in life is Torah. First reaction is through his pain. That's so, again, it's a lumdish question that we could talk about. Hopefully the rugged shover was, Ben Hashem had a refuah shleima b'karav. But he quotes, that's his suffix. Ulai ha'avanim heim davar chitzoni sheino kasher l'meis. Ka'afar shabam miyachutz. So therefore, zametame or not. So lo yadua mahagon pasha b'safik zeh. We don't know what his answer was. He had this suffix, but we're not sure what his answer was. V'niran, that it would be tame. It would become tumas rekav because now it's inside of the person. Inside of the person. He says, let me ask you some other questions. I don't know. He says, what if somebody had screws put in their body for some reason? They had a broken bone and they need to have screws in their body. So does that create, you know, gangilon, right? What if somebody has false teeth? Shinayim totavot shebefiv. What if somebody has a type of pacemaker? What if somebody, all of these, somebody has a foreign item in their body, so do we say that that would prevent rekev? That would be gangilon or not? So, questions to think about. Hopefully, lahalacha v'lo l'maisa. Good. Gufa says the Gemara, Moli Tavad Rekev, Shnav Lotocho, Afar, Kolshu, Tameh. The Tanakhama says it does not have to be pure. If you have Moli Tavad Rekev, even if you have Afar, it's okay, it's still Tameh. Rabbi Shimon Metaher. Moli Tavad Rekev, Shin is positive Abayas. What if it got scattered in the house? So, same Achlokas. Abayas Tameh, Rabbi Shimon Metaher. So if it's Tzricha, you need both of these. When they're all in one spoon, and with a scattered in the house. If you only have the case where it's all gathered, maybe that's where the Rabbanan say Tamei, we should demichnef. There it's gathered together, alvan ispazer. But maybe if it's spread out all over, maybe they would agree to Rabbi Shimon that it's no good, because each section of the roof is not being ma'ahil over the entire rekev. So maybe there would be mekel. And say it's not Tamei, kamash malan, they do. And if the opposite, if you only have the scattered case, maybe only there Rabbi Shimon says, De'ein mahil v'chozer mahil. That's where Rabbi Shimon is, l'kula. But if it was all together, maybe he would give the Rabbanan. Sricha, that's what you need, both cases. Tanya Ida, the Brisa, it's really a Mishnah. See on the side? Tzarech lomar tznan v'tzarechiyin. Right, tznan, the Mishnah in all is, Mali tarbet v'od afar. The Beisak Faros, something else. Not Rekev, corpse dust, but you have grave dirt. Beisak, cemetery dirt. So, cemetery dirt, so there's in there, there is some mace, but there's other stuff too. So, Mali Tarvad, V'od Afar Beisak Faros. Tamei, according to the Tanakhama, as we said, Rabbi Shimon Mitire. My Tamei Al Durabana, why did the Rabbanan say, Tamei, Lefishi Yefsha, Lamali Tarvad, V'od Afar Beisak Faros, Sheba, Mali Tarvad, V'Rekev. Because in this amount must be the shear of Rekev, even though you have other stuff in it. But the Tanakhama says it doesn't have to be exclusive. It doesn't have to be pure. So Gemara says, Hasha tuka amit taima. So now this was all, now we're getting back to our, how do we get into this? We got into this because at the beginning, Rabba was giving the svar for Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah that says that the baby, the shilya that came out is not mitame the house. Rabbi Shimon said, it's tahar. Why was that? So the first suggestion was because it's not pure, right? The first suggestion was that it was batel, right? It was not pure, it was batel in the mother's dam. So Rabba said, but that's not true. Maybe there's a special din here. Maybe there's a special din here, right? That sofa kitchilaso. So the Gemara now says, Hashad amit tamid Rabbi Shimon, Mishim sofa kitchilaso, and not because of the rekev that is surrounded by the afar. So then you have to have come up with a different reason for Rabbi Shimon. So Gabi Shilya, my taima. So back to our Mishnah. So what is the reason for Rabbi Shimon that he says tohar, that the Shilya is not mitame ohel? So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum bitl barov naguba. Which Rashi quoted back on the Mishnah. Right? It's not that it's surrounded and therefore it's considered something else, but it's bitl barov. Bitl, Rashi says, in the damleda of the mother. V'yaz Rabbi Yochanan l'taimei, and this is Rabbi Yochanan l'shita. So Dam Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Amru Davar Echad. Rabbi Yochanan linked our Rabbi Shimon to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Rabbi Shimon ad Amran, right? Our Rabbi Shimon is based on Bittol, Bidam Leida. And Rabbi Eliezer, where did Tanya, the Brisa? Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Behema Gasa, Sheshafa, Chareres Dam, a Behema Gasa that expresses a large clump of Dam, Harizuti Kaver, and it's a potential Bechor. So that matter has to be buried. Maybe it's a Bechor. Upetirimina Bechora. And then the next baby will not have to be a Bechor, because we assume the first thing that came out was a Bechor. V'tani Rabbi Chiya Allah, and Rabbi Chiya said about that Mishnah, Eina Matama, lo b'vagav lo b'masa. Even though we treat it like a Bechor, it's not Matame. Magen Masa, like another Nevela. U'me'achash Eina Matama, lo b'vagav lo b'masa, amayti kaver. So why does it have to be buried if it's not really a baby? It's not really a vlad, that's a bechor. Kedila farsama she b'termina bechora. Right? To publicize that the next baby will not be a bechor. So Gemara says, aham avlan ma'alyu, we're going in circles. So that it is a good bechor. And if it is a good bechor, then it should be matami b'mago b'masa. So b'amai tani b'chia en matami lo b'mago b'masa. So Amar Rav Yochanan, Mishum Bito Barov Naguba. Really, it was a bechor. And it is a bechor, and that's why we have to bury it. And that's why the next one is Peturman Abachora. But it's just that, Bittul Barov Naguba. But it's Bittul, it's Barov Dam of that was also, that came out with it. It'll be Bittul on there, and that's why it is not Mitame Magu Maso, but it is there. So it's the same thing Rabbi Shimon says here. Even if it is a Vlad, it was Bittul Barov, and therefore it would not be Mitame. Not be Mitami the house. Again, there's a lot in the world of Bittul. Remember that Ron in Nedarim on Daf Nun Beis? Bittul is only when there's a clash of items. And that's why he exclaims, the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, Ein Dam Avatal Dam. You need a clash of items. Only Her Be'isser, he relates to Davar Sheish L'Matirin, he relates that Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. But again, here too, you have to just note that there's going to be Bittul. It's two different concepts. There's a Vlad, there's Dam of the Mother, right? There's different items here, and that's how Bittul could take place, according to Rabbi Shimon. Okay, I'll have to stop here by Amar Rabbi Ami. I don't think I'm going to be giving tomorrow's daf. I think I will put out from the last cycle. After that, there's a week that I didn't give from the last cycle. So just one more on tomorrow from the last cycle, and then the next week will be straight Be'ez Hashem as we continue here in our march. In our march, Daf Chav Ches, getting up to right in the last 50 or so daf in this cycle of Daf Yomi. But again, nothing ever ends, right? When we end, we just pick up and start again. But Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up next time. Again, the Chav Ches will be put up, and we'll pick up after that. Okay, we'll stop here.